Story time. The time during the episode where we talk about what happened last week during our campaigns, our favorite moments, what we learned about ourselves, and what we learned about each other. Please join us now as we enjoy story time.
All right, Chris, so for story time, we got to play the first night in your new campaign called The Adventures on the Solarian Islands.
Yes, you are right.
I am right. Good. I was like, Solarian, I think?
There was like
Solarian?
This moment of like hesitation. You were like...
Yeah, well, we've only played once, right. And it was 2 weeks ago now.
2 weeks ago,
so it was a little bit hazy. But so we played in The Adventures of Solarian Islands. We got our character creation night out of the way. We built our characters. And so we began this night with all of our characters being in the same city. I don't remember the city's name.
Mortondale.
And we all were coming into the city, or we had been in the city for whatever reason.
Yep.
And there was this festival of the ships going on. So this is a big festival. And
it draws people. There's three islands that make up the Solarian Islands. And everybody who can pretty much comes to the city of Mortondale. Like, there's tents outside the city because there's not enough room in the city. So people come here for this festival.
Yeah, and so this big thing, and obviously it is what it sounds like. It involves ships, and I believe there was a parade going through town.
There was a parade of ships, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, out in the bay. I may not have explained that really
and
well.
And I did not... get it, but I think it was Caleb. He was like, "Oh, because they're in a parade, they're floats." And
oh yeah,
I was like, "Ah, I see what he did there. That's funny. That's funny."
Yep.
But yeah, so there's this big festival of ships in Mortondale, and so that's where we started out with all of our characters. Most of our characters don't. Well, I shouldn't say most of our characters don't know each other. We have two Camilos, which are chameleon kin brothers, and they know a tiefling. They're all part of this investigation business, this detective business.
Yep.
Then we have a druid Howie, which is a deer folk, played by our friend Tyler. And then we have Caleb and I. I am Maglath, the barbarian bounty hunter Goliath, and he is a half-elf bard bounty hunter, and we kind of have this like secret alias as a like bard band but we're really bounty hunters. And part of that was that we throughout the night gave our fake names to the rest of the group, like as players.
Nobody
too,
in the group knows your names yet.
We did not want the players to have metagaming, like me and Caleb personally, we didn't want them to know our names. So because Maglath has a really low intelligence, he can't remember much. So
and hopefully they're not listening to this episode.
Yeah,
because they'll.
Well, it'll be out way after, I don't think it'll. I don't think it'll be a problem. But so we name my guy Bors, and Caleb's alias is Solus.
I have Bors Big Hammer Brothen.
Yeah, and they just laughed at it. They're like, "Oh, dumb name," and I'm just like, "Well, it's not my real name."
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because Goliaths have their first name, a second name that's given to them by the tribe, and then I think it's basically like their surname.
Yeah.
And so,
I don't even have Caleb's actual name for his character yet.
Well, I think me and Caleb didn't want to like really push our real names onto you because we didn't want you to have that extra like mess up and like.
Well,
oops,
the only
like,
reason I know yours,
Caleb was very like. Like, very cautious about, like, he's like, "I'm going to mess up." And he never did, but I don't even remember his real name
as a player. You posted yours on Twitter with the mini that you painted.
Yep.
And that's the only reason I knew that your guy's name was not actually Bors, Big Hammer Brothen.
Maglath, Clan Traitor, Tholavon. And so, I mean, his clan gave him the name Clan Traitor. And so, you don't know, Caleb doesn't know. Only I know why he has a name Clan Traitor. And Caleb, I did explain to Caleb in his backstory, I'm like, you probably had a moment that you asked Maglath, and that was probably the most tense moment ever, and you decided never ever to ask again. But it will affect his role playing. And I'd rather actually not tell you as the DM if you want to know.
I kind of am
waiting for the moment where something happens that, like, Maglath Clan Traitor's like basically the red comes up and he just goes like into his
it's like the trigger that happens.
And for, because one of his flaws is that he does not, he feels like he doesn't need to explain himself. So like if somebody gets pissed at him, he's not going to be like, I'm sorry. Like he'll just be like, whatever.
Well, it's like, it's funny that as a DM, it's really interesting because I kind of had this, you know, idea that like you have these things that you're not telling me yet.
Yeah.
And Caleb has these things that like, he's not telling me yet. And he like, he Facebook messaged me while we were playing, while you guys were doing something. And he's like asking me these questions. So he has things he's hiding from the group that you guys don't know about yet.
Yep. Caleb doesn't know what I have. I trust Caleb's the one guy in the, like I said, not in just the group, cause we hadn't met the group yet, but I was, my guy has trust issues, like severe trust, sure. Which stems from the clan traitor thing.
Right.
And so I told Caleb like, yeah. He saved my life. That's part of like the backstory we have. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, my guy trusts you with his life. And it's funny because we have things that we don't know about each other because we just haven't told each other, even though he's the one guy I trust the most.
Right.
But yeah, even in that sense, it'll be interesting to see those secrets come out. And yeah, we just ended the night pretty much with getting to know the other group. And
yeah, you guys
kind of
all did your separate
them.
Things throughout yep. the whole night. And so like we had this group of, you know, we had Hanta, which was my brother's character, one of the Camilos. We had Caesar, which was another one of the Camilos played yep. by Jared. And we had Jason was playing Zyvir, and they were kind of like
a tiefling. Yeah.
He's a tiefling. And so they were making this investigation group, and they got hired at the very beginning of the night by the Royal Guard. Like they had been here for a little while. They had started making a little bit of the name for themselves, or the Royal Navy, the head of the Royal Navy came to them and was like, hey, we have this big race going on where like these ships all come from all over the land to try and race to see who's the fastest. And they have this set up around like these miniature islands in the bay that they have to race around and stuff. So they got hired to make sure that nobody was cheating. And so they went and did their duty. They investigated all of the ships, made sure they were all set to go. And that was kind of what they did for the first little while. That was their main job. Caleb had something that he needed to do. And we both said this. I was like, oh, I wish we could have recorded this.
Yeah.
Because it was one of those moments where, like, I said to him in character creation, I was like, hey, there's going to be this thing, Battle of the Bards. Like, you are a bard. Come up with some sort of story that you can share for us. And I thought it would just be like he'd read it or whatever, you know. Didn't think he would get as into it as he did. But he came to the table, and yeah. like I just said to him, I said, Caleb, do you have it?
He's like, oh yeah, I do. Two pages.
Well, he got to this point after like the first like two sections, and we're like, is that it? He's like, no way, man. He's like,
I think I started to clap like three or four times because I thought it was done.
But he had
just kept going.
He had a tune picked out. He had words that fit perfectly with the tune. Yeah. He was standing on my couch, probably broke it in some way, shape, or form. But he was just going to town, and we were all loving it. It was one of the funnest moments that I've ever seen a character, you know, get into his character so much. It was phenomenal.
Well, actually, and it worked out that I clapped early a couple times because I just said that was basically Maglev, not knowing the tune, and just like kept on clapping.
Yeah. Well, he had you play your drum out in the crowd.
No,
right?
No, he didn't.
Oh, okay.
He's like, don't do that.
Yeah, I thought that because I think he said something like, "You totally play like you'd play your drum in this moment," and then he was like,
well, Maglev is not a big crowd guy,
right,
so
right, yeah.
He wasn't really into that.
So you're sitting in the crowd, like, and everybody else had seen you do, like, seen Caleb's character do that, but you guys hadn't been introduced to each other yet. So there was that moment that was absolutely just, it was so much fun, and I regret not recording it, because if we did, I would have wanted all of you to listen to it.
I'm sure we'll have more songs.
We will have more songs, I'm sure, from Caleb's character.
Neither of us know his actual name.
Neither of us know his actual name.
Solus right now.
Solus,
alias. Yep.
And so one thing that I forgot to mention, when they were going around investigating ships, one of the things that they found on one of the ships, the Silver Wake, was it was a slave trading ship as well. And slavery in the Salarian Islands is highly forbidden. And so they were investigating and they found like this little area within the ship that was like being covered up. Like people were trying to hide something, obviously. So they investigated it and the Silver Wake was just, you know, in that instant disqualified. They had like, I think it was like 12 halfling slaves down underneath this deck that they were just looking super dirty, super emaciated, like waist on the floor. Like they've just been chained up there for a long time. And so they found that. while they were down there. And once the ship races started, they got all of the ships investigated. Everybody was clean going through there. Once the ship started, there was this, you know, big moment. Cannons fire, all these different color, you know, things of smoke come out of the cannons, indicating each of the colors of the ship that are going out. They sail out, you know, 10 minutes into the race, they start turning around the first island. And all of a sudden, everybody hears this loud explosion noise. And you see three amber color flares go up, which indicate that something has happened to the Amber Dictator. At this moment, this is where Tyler's character, and I felt bad for Tyler, because most of the night he was just like sitting there doing nothing. And I was like, all right, I got to give him something to do. And I had a separate way of how I was going to get like the person you met later involved in the story. But I was like, all right, I got to give Tyler some way to get involved in the story and some way to connect with the group. Because I had been thinking the whole time, I was like, how in the world am I going to get this druid character with the rest of the group? Because he was the only one that wasn't a part of a group previously. And so he was standing there in the crowd and he looked next to him and there was this dude in a brown hooded cloak, and around the trim on the front of it was like red and yellow like silk around the front of it. And he saw this guy. Once the explosion happened, everybody's kind of looking around. This guy didn't freak out or anything. He was just standing there and he just smiled and started walking away. And it was like super, like it was not the normal reaction that you would think of happened during an explosion. And so Howie Chuchip is his name. And I think
Howie Chuchip.
I think you guys are just going to start calling him Chuchip, right?
Maglith has actually introduced him, we'll just call him Choo-choo.
Choo-choo, that's what it was. Yeah, Choo-choo.
So I've just been calling him Choo-choo.
Yeah. And so he just followed him. And Howie followed him to like this warehouse, like storage building area. The guy went in, and he was an elf when he went in. He came back out a few minutes later, and like he was the only person that went in, only person that went out, because nobody is in the city. Like everybody is out in the courtyard at this point in time. Goes in, Howie's looking, comes back out, and he's a human. Like not an elf anymore, came out as a human. And so he just was like, this is really weird. Like what in the world am I supposed to do with this? And so he followed the guy around for a little while, and then everybody's freaking out at this point in time because the Amber Dictator, the reigning champion of the ship races, exploded. Like, big deal. And so the XDX, as they call themselves, the private investigatory firm in the city of Mortondale, sets up shop in the Wolf Pack. It's an inn in the city called the Wolf Pack. And they've been, like, hired once again by the Royal Navy to figure out what happened, get to the bottom of things. And outside of the door is just this line of people, because people were promised that they would get a part of the reward if they came with information, you know, leading to the arrest of the person that did this. And so Tyler is like, well, I got information. I guess I'll go wait in line. So he waits in line the whole time to get up to the front and give them this information. And how did you guys get involved?
We obviously were there for Festival of Ships. We hear all this. We see it. And then we, as bounty hunters, of course, are like, this seemed
gold
unplanned.
Out for somebody's head?
Yeah, I bet all you right. there's, I bet you a bounty is being posted for this very guy. And so we found out that was the case, and we found out that we had to talk to this XDX group, of investigators. To which their name is because of their last name.
Yeah, they
name.
Have Zyvir.
Or their first name.
Yeah, it's their last name. So you have Zerilis, Darish, and Zyvir is the only name for the tieflings. So
which is a lot easier to say.
Then, yes, that.
Yes. So we go and we're like kind of trailing them, not like... And so we eventually get up to this place where it's basically there's town guards. They're not letting anybody in. Mm-hmm. The investigators are investigating this place. And that's how we came up, and I was just silent and kind of looking stern.
Yeah, because Howie took them back down to that warehouse area.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. So they're checking that place out. And so there's town guards outside. And so we as bounty hunters like approached this group. We met them they were down at the warehouse. Howie Chuchip brought them down there to check it out. And we met them there and basically presented ourselves as bounty hunters. And we said, we can help you follow them for payment.
Right.
And so we did. So if anybody heard us talk about our characters before, we have a pet elephant named Clara. I believe. And we Clara was named by Solas, and I, Magleth, got to name our dog, and I named him Hound.
Right.
And so Hound was with us. Clara was, I'm assuming, in a stable somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so I set Hound. Basically, they had found. What did they find?
They found a piece of the garment that the guy was wearing that he tried to, like, dispose of, burn in a fireplace, but didn't quite get all of it. So you have a small remnant of that piece of garment, and you decided, like, this is why you have a Hound. He'll sniff out.
So I gave it to Hound. Hound went off, and I started following Hound, and eventually we saw somebody.
Yep, you saw somebody leaving Hound. A tavern. Hound starts barking like dogs do when they find something that they've been sniffing, and the guy just books it, like just takes off. And he goes down the street a little ways and then turns into an alleyway, and you guys follow him. And then what did you guys find when you came into the alleyway?
We found him on the ground in a pool of blood with a arrow in his back. Yeah. And I believe one or two of us rolled a perception check, and we saw somebody on the roof. I believe I think I made the perception check and like tried to like throw an axe or something.
And, yeah, I think it was you and my brother, Hanta, I think, were the ones that saw whoever it was.
So like I tried to attack, tried to follow, didn't actually, I wasn't able to. So I came back and the guy was dead. I threw him over my shoulder.
And you saw the arrow that was out of his back had red and yellow fletchings on it. So it was very similar to the red and yellow that that Howie had seen and you guys see on the piece
and
of garment.
I think I
around.
Gave it to Hound to try and sniff again, but I don't think we got anything.
No, you guys didn't find anything after that point in time. But so you guys went back after that point and you talked with the Royal Navy, and they were like, they weren't willing to pay you quite yet because it was like, we don't know 100% that this was the guy. Follow up on some more leads, figure out if this was actually the person. You guys are like, seriously? Like, this just happened. Like, it's pretty apparent that this guy was in on it. Like, here's the facts.
Especially Magleth and Solas.
Yeah.
Like, Solas at least was able to kind of be like, all right, we'll get paid later. Mm-hmm. But Magleth was not really having it.
Yeah. And so do you remember what Magleth did?
Yeah, he kept putting his hand out to one of the Camilos and was like, pay now, pay now.
Yeah.
And so Magleth is not good at counting either, so he dropped 5 coins into Magleth's hand and in Solas's hand, and Magleth looks at Solas and is just like, this is not a lot.
Right, this is not a lot.
Like, me can tell. Yeah. Or Magleth can tell. And Solas tries to calm Magleth down. He's not happy about it, but he's able to calm down and say, all right, we're going to get paid later. But Magleth, at the very least, is like, all right, well, Hound did all the work.
Yeah.
So where's Hound's payment? Yeah. And, like, basically, there was this whole, like, fight about, like, paying Hound. And I think the whole table was looking at me like, Magleth is trying to get, or, well, they think my name is Bors, but Bors is trying to get his dog to get 5 gold for what he did. Mm-hmm. And, like, I just looked at everybody. I'm like, yeah. My dog's only 2 intelligence lower than me.
Yeah.
He did all the work here. Yeah. So Magleth has a pouch on his side that's for Hound's
for
gold.
For Hound specifically,
For Hound specifically, so.
You also did something as Magleth, and I don't remember if you remember this or not, but they were talking about payment later after you guys left or something.
Oh,
and he stood outside the door.
Yeah, once again, Magleth does not trust anybody, so he stood out. He listened in on their conversation at the door, and when one of the Camilos went to bed, who kind of has been the head honcho, the one that Jared is playing, he slept outside of his room because he's been stiff before him and Solas met up, and so he does not trust anybody.
Right.
So he wants to make sure that they don't sneak away with his gold.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there was another moment where you were standing outside a door when they were talking, and you're like, gold?
Yeah, yeah.
Hound.
Because giant is we forgot to say giant is my native language.
Right.
Common is I know some common.
Right.
So I'm listening at the door, but I only know certain words, and I decided that
most
like
most of them, which are like money words.
Yeah, money words and very like easy to understand words.
Right. Right.
So I'm going and I'm counting. Like, okay, they said gold. They said Hound.
They said no.
They said Bors. Yeah, they said no. Like, and I'm just trying to figure out what are they talking about without actually understanding common very well.
Yeah.
And also going into like, you know, with not knowing the language very well, the faster they speak, the harder it is for me. So, so that's where at least most of the group left off for that night.
Yeah, and so then, Jared, I had everybody leave the room at this point in time, and what ended up happening next was Jared went to sleep.
Whose character?
Caesar. Jared. Jared's character went to sleep. And what ended up happening is he entered this weird dream state where I told him, I was like, you open your eyes and you this feels very familiar to you. Like, this is a dream that you've had before, like, pretty regularly. Trying to set it up as, like, when you wake up in the morning, it's not going to be something that you run down and be like, oh my gosh, this is such a weird dream. Like, I have to tell everybody about this. And so he wakes up, or, like, he's in this dream, and he looks around, and it's, like, this just desolate-looking battlefield. There's, like, a volcano in the background, some, like, destroyed trees all over, and in front of them, in front of him, is this demon-looking creature. And he knows, like, he's just instinctively knowing that he's supposed to be here in this moment. He looks down at his arms, he sees a sword in his hand, and he sees this on his arm, he sees this tattoo of this black wolf howling at the moon. And so he realizes, like, this is me, this is my moment. And he gets into this battle with the demon in front of him. And what I ended up doing is I just said, all right, you get one attack, like, you get to do your attack, and then he attacks you. And that was the dream. That's all we had for the dream. Setting it up as, like, this could be a regularly occurring thing. And so then I just said, all right, go get everybody else. You had your dream state where you fought with the demon. Have everybody come back. And I basically ended the night by saying, you guys wake up the next morning. You go down to the main room of the wolf pack, and Loshmar, the innkeeper, is there, and he's, you know, ready to serve you guys food. And that's where we ended off for the night.
An interesting little side story there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you know what's going on. I have a feeling you do. After something that we've talked about in the past. But
Yeah. But I will keep that out of my character's mind, which will be easy because he's Maglev. So we'll have to tune in next time and find out what happens to the group on the Salarian Islands with this whole ship debacle and everything.
Thanks for listening to this week's story time. We hope you've enjoyed these moments from our campaigns, stories about our characters and what they have done within our worlds. We hope that you have enjoyed your time here, and we hope that you come back again next week for another edition of Storytime.